My Bible is becoming like some of the little songbooks downstairs. The pages are starting to fall out and to move from place to place. And so if all of a sudden I begin to read something that doesn't make sense to you, it's just that I've got my page turned upside down or inside out or something like that. So Revelation chapter 11, beginning to read with the 15th verse down through the 19th verse today. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "I give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants and prophets, and to the saints, and to them which fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for this time that we have to come together. I ask for your protection with the weather as it is, that we all get home safe and sound. And I ask that you would hold the weather off, that we could come back tonight and study your word once again. We love coming together. We love studying your word. We love opening these pages. The joy of studying your precious word and learning how to study your word down in the Sunday school class this morning. And now we come up and we're going to continue in praise of song and of reading of your precious word. Please, dear Lord, that you'll just guide and lead us. Touch every heart that's here today with your precious word as we pour over these few verses today, and yet very powerful verses. So just open our eyes, open our mind, and open our hearts to you, that we will hear your precious word. Touch our hearts then, convict our hearts for whatever need be, whether it's salvation or service or cleansing, whatever the need may be. Dear Lord, I just ask for your power. And I ask that you'll give us your peace and your joy. Show us your love now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In this 15th verse, the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven. The continuing of the trumpet judgments. Remember, we need to kind of look at the time a little bit. We spent a lot of that time today in the Sunday school class trying to get the times and the events that were taking place. And the question that I left the class with, that the year 4000 was the fall. That's when Eve decided to choose to disobey, and Adam followed. And then we have in the year 3000 B.C., we have the flood. The year 2000 B.C. is about when Abraham and Jacob comes onto the scene. It's about 2,000 years from the fall. And the question was, what happened at 1,000? And so that's the question for next week. I send them home with homework. But the class was getting mean this morning. They said I was too strict and too strong and expecting too much. Wait till next week. Wait till next week. We look at the Word of God, and the more you study the Word of God, the more you listen to the Word of God, and studying through Nahum and listening to the recordings that are going on Quincy with Jonah, and you listen to Exodus, and you listen to Genesis, and you listen to the Gospel of John, and then we come and we look at all these things, and then I come back and study through the book of Revelation in preparing for this message, and folks think, why don't you just study one area? I am the Word of God. It's one area. It's all about Jesus. And we need to see that, that the book from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is all about Jesus. And we can't miss that, because it's so important that you know the Lord Jesus and that you walk with the Lord Jesus. The church at this time in Revelation, where is the church? The church is safe and sound in the arms of the Lord up in heaven. They've been called home during the rapture of the church, if you'd call that, the entrance of the seven-year tribulation right before that started. Why, we all that are born again, all that are saved, are taken up to be with the Lord during this time. And so you see, we have this wonderful grand seat in heaven. And we have been given this opportunity to be delivered from the curse, because that's the ultimate curse that's going to come upon this earth. We think that the devil brought the curse on, and he did, by getting and tricking Eve and her following that means, that the curse came upon all of mankind, all upon children and the creation, everything, yes. But God's judgment, God's curse is going to come up on the evil and the wicked during the seven-year tribulation. And thank and praise our God, we don't have to be here for that. We will be in heaven with Him. At this time, Jesus has removed the seals of the seven-sealed book that contains the means, the redemptive terms, how He's going to regain control of the earth. We look at the Great Tribulation as all these things taking place, and many men and preachers through the year have painted these big beasts, and I've seen one that had a whole Muriel on the behind that showed the steps of everything that was going through. But the thing that we need to see here, that the whole purpose of this judgment, of this cleansing, is that God takes back what's His. For 6,000 years, the devil has owned the earth. God's taken it back. And that's what He's doing during this 7 years of tribulation. During that time, every time a judgment comes, it is a call for repentance to those that are lost, that they would come and trust in Jesus. One last opportunity before it's over. One last chance. And so instead of Him just coming as He will on His white horse with us following Him, instead of Him rapturing the church and then just immediately we get suited up and we come right back with Him and destroy the earth. That could be. But instead of that, God set up 7 years of methodical and planned judgments upon the wicked, upon this earth, for the purpose of condemning the wicked and bringing those that will repent to salvation. 7 years. What's the number in the Scripture for perfection, for completeness? The number seven. What is the year for man? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. The number is six. And so we have 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, 2,000 years after the birth of Christ. In the Word of God, one day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so if you look at the way God does it, we've got to be very close to the opening of the door of this awful time upon earth. We must be telling people about Jesus. We must be studying this book and telling them there is only one way of salvation, and that is to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. The seventh angel sounds, and there is a great stir in heaven. Great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." John heard it were as great voices announcing this announcement that the kingdoms of this world are once again going to be taken back over by God Himself. It's going to be His kingdom. You know, we look at exciting days. We look at the day that Jesus comes. We look at the day that if we have to face the grave now, that we're going to be in the arms and face to face with the Lord Jesus in heaven. What wonderful days that will be. But as we look and we understand God's plan, by sin entered in, 6,000 years later, we're going to find, I believe, that God's going to come and he's going to reclaim what's his. And so that should be a wonderful day, an exciting day for each one of us. Man and the devil have been in power for 6,000 years. But Psalms 24:1 tells us, if you want to turn there, because we need to look at these scriptures. I want you to see these scriptures. Look at the book of Psalms 24:1. Psalms 24:1. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. This is his. He has given it over for a period of time for the devil to rule and reign. But there's a day that he's going to reclaim it to his own. He is about to take his seat on his throne. And I want you to look at Isaiah. Here's a scripture verse that we read many times, Isaiah chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's going to be a time very soon, the Lord is going to take back and rule and reign. His word is true. Look with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He shall be called great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He is coming back to rule and to reign. To rule and to reign. We look back in Revelation chapter 11 at the 16th verse. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. The 24 elders. This cry that went from them is in verse 17. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. It's coming. The time is coming. The end is so very near of all these judgments that's coming upon the earth, and God's going to take over. He's going to take over. He's getting one time. And so as this seal, as this trump was about to sound, the seventh trump, we find as that was revealed, not only was there great voices in heaven, but also the 24 elders. Now, who are the 24 elders? Do you remember who the 24 elders are? They're the church. That's you and me. That's you and me. We are going to fall on our faces when we hear and we see this last trump that is brought to light. Go back with me once again to Psalms. I hope you just kept your hand back there. If you didn't, it won't take you long to find it. Psalms, the first chapter of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read from the third verse through verse 6. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. the Lord shall have them in derision or contempt, and then shall he speak unto them, and his wrath, and the vex them his sore displeasure. Are you following me? Thank you. I read that three times this morning, and it was great. That's chapter 2. Chapter 1. I should have looked up earlier. I would have seen some looks. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. You've probably already read it. It's great. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They're not going to prosper, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God is going to take care of things. The rich and the wealthy and those that have used every means to gain that think that they're never going to be caught, never be brought to light. They will. Those that have held judgment against us as believers in Christ, they will be held accountable. Every last one. They're not going to stand in judgment against us any longer. We will be in judgment against them. Justice will come. Our Lord will see to that. Please, with me, turn to Psalms 37. I'll try to read the right one this time. I added the third verse to that just this morning, and it just wasn't coming together. Psalms 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked shall draw out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Look at those words. You think that those that have wronged you or those that are the wicked of this world are just getting away with it? No. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Hold to the peace of God and watch God deliver to you joy and love and peace and happiness. And it says right there, I love that scripture, he that hath little, don't worry, because you're going to have plenty. Those that have plenty now, they'll have little, they'll have none, they'll perish. And so don't be jealous of what they have. Feel sorry for them. Pray for them. Ask God to have mercy on their soul, because their day of judgment will come. You know, there were many mighty wonders that God has performed all through time. And I love studying the scripture in Genesis and in Exodus. I love looking at the miracle, at the revival that was held in Nineveh. I love looking at all the miraculous things, the voyage that Jonah took to get to Nineveh. I love to look at all these things that God is doing in His Scripture to show us His power and His strength. All the wonders, all the great miracles. But there is something that's going to take place at this time as this last trump is brought to light that is going to open up. All has been performed prior to this time is going to seem like nothing compared to these last hours that's going to be here upon earth. And then the wonderful gift that God gives us, which is eternity and a new heaven, a new earth. In Revelation 5, Jesus took the seven sealed book from the hand of him that sitteth upon the throne, it says. And Jesus was the one found worthy to open the book. We need to be reminded of that. Jesus took it and began removing the seals. And this seventh trumpet is found under the last of the seals as he has opened it up. From this moment, Jesus is going to take the book from the moment in chapter 5 that it started, and Jesus has planned, and it's all into place to open it up all the way to this moment. And now we have the last trump. All along the way, we have watched the unfolding of these judgments. But when the seventh trump sounds, everything in heaven and all creation breaks out with a thundering praise and shouts, the Scripture tells us in the 15th verse. Once again, these 24 elders fall on their face. In chapter 5, the elders fell down and gave praise, which again is us. But this time, with what they see, they don't just go down to their knees, they go all the way to their face. They go all the way to their face. We again are counted worthy through the blood of the Lamb not to go through this time. We will be in the presence of our Lord, and there won't be any prideful thought that, boy, we were good enough to get here. Whatever part of this that we see or witness, and I don't know, where the marriage supper of the Lamb is going on, we're not really told. Some believe that we're going to witness all that's going on down here. And of course, understanding and knowing that it's God's perfect will that's taking place here. But we won't have any place for pride. And we won't have any place for praise. We'll just have a place of our heart of mourning and sadness for those that chose not to come by faith. The trumpet is now sounding. It is the close or the climax to all that we have looked at concerning these judgments. We find in the 18th verse that the nations of the world are angry, are very angry. And at the same time, we see that the wrath is come and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto the servants and the prophets to the saints. But we see this judgment coming, this final judgment. We will receive a reward. You think, well, we're supposed to get that during the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, we will receive rewards as a church, but there's an eternal reward. We have a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. A new heaven and a new earth. I don't know. Tony, if you, I don't know if you've seen this. I think you're the only farmer in here. Have you seen that advertisement where that little crane comes down and snatches up that weed? Yeah, I like that. Yeah, there won't be any weeds. Boy, that's neat to watch. That thing comes in. How many have seen that? That's a cute commercial, and it's real quiet. And this little plant comes out, looks like a cute little thing, you know. And all of a sudden, And here comes this mean machine comes, and then you look across the field, and they're everywhere. Every time a little weed shows up, this thing takes care of it. Well, you know what? There's not going to be any weeds sneaking up during this time when God gives us a new heaven and new earth. The old curse is going to be gone, and everything is going to be in its full glory and full beauty. There's not going to be any more headaches. There's not going to be any more heartaches. There's not going to be any more bad test results and trips to Mayo's. There's not going to be any more of that, because we're going to rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to be with him forever. So you see, there's not only the rewards that the church is going to receive during the seven-year tribulation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, all of the things. There is going to be an eternal reward of praising God and honoring God and living with him and working beside him. Working beside him. Being with him. Judgment's coming. I'm going to read the 18th verse. The nations were angry, and the wrath and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants and prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Those that still are in sin, they will face the judgment. Let's look at verse 19. The temple of God was opened in heaven. All this all going on same time. The temple of God is opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. The ark of his testament. You know why, when we look at the tabernacle and we have the wonderful study of the tabernacle, it's not... it's no surprise that when you ask most people, do you know about the tabernacle in the Scripture? It's no surprise that few know anything about it. Few even have heard of it. There's no surprise that the devil doesn't allow that to come out. He let the Ten Commandments, the law and how we broke them and all those things, he brings that out. The law condemns, and he's condemned, so he wants us to be condemned with him, and we are. But he doesn't want that word of grace to come. But that tabernacle that we have studied and we love to study and we love to draw it on the board and we love to look at it and see its life for a Christian. It's our plan of salvation that Jesus has given us. It's everything. It's the most beautiful picture of Jesus that we have in all the Scripture. It's no wonder that few people know about it and few people study it. And the reason is because it is a duplicate. It's not the first temple. God didn't say and hand the plans to Moses and say, here, now I'm going to give you people with special talents. I'm going to give you much of the wealth of Egypt to build this thing. I want you to build it. He took Moses, and Moses saw on Mount Sinai the temple of God in heaven. And he come down and built that tabernacle. He tabernacled it here, so God had a place to reside here upon this earth. And so when Moses got to look at that temple, he got to see what we're seeing right here. This tabernacle, this temple. And what did we look at when we looked into the doors of the temple? We looked all the way through. We're beyond the courtyard. We're beyond the holy place. We're in the Holy of Holies. And who is in the Holy of Holies? None other than the Word of God. And what do we have when we look at this temple? You're going to find this. If you've missed the studies that we've had, please go to Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. That's kind of, it starts there. Look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Is that actual scripture that tells that Moses saw it. Moses witnessed what he was to build. And so this earthly temple, the earthly tabernacle, is not perfect. The one in heaven is. at one time in the past, heaven and earth, and its worship unto the God and Creator were together. We're together. When was that? Prior to Eve being disobedient. In the Garden of Eden, after the creation, before the fall, heaven and earth had literally come together. And their forms of worship. God talked directly to Adam in the garden. Talk to him. Adam, here's what I want you to do today. There was joy, there was happiness, there was perfection, there was no toil, there was no weeds. There was nothing but perfection. And so the worship and the praise of God was perfect as well. What do you see that we're 6,000 years later? And God gives us a peek. He opens a door to John so he can see into the temple and all the way to the Ark of the Covenant. What's so important about the Ark? What's so important about the Ark? Every promise, every covenant, everything that God has ever said is in that ark. Everything. God can't break His promise. God can't lie. God can't deceive. Everything that God has ever promised to the nation of Israel and to His church is in that box. Every promise. Every promise. And we look here, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of His testament. Everything. Everything. So you see, we're coming to a close. Because all the promises God have made now are being opened up to us, and we're to the end of that. He has completed every word that He has stated, every promise that He has made, He has kept. And so now we're looking 6,000 years later, we're back to where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. We're back in that same place with our God. Perfect. And God gives John just this little peek that says, here's the promises. Here they are. I'm not going to renege on one of them. I'm not going to change my mind because of what you did or didn't do. It's my word that has saved you. It's my word that keeps you. What a beautiful scripture verse here when we see this. All the promises, not one word of God's promise has died or has become obsolete or has become forgotten. Every word. Every word. So you see, we've been looking at all these judgments that's been coming. But God gives us this little opening right here for us to see. Keep your eyes on the finish. Keep your eyes on what's to come. Be laying up rewards where rust and everything, take it away. Let's lay it up in heaven. All the things that we gather down here are either going to rust away or be blown away. Enemies come and steal it away, but there is going to be nothing. Nothing, no one can touch what we do down here for Jesus. It's going to be stored up there awaiting our arrival. This life is a vapor in relationship to eternity. How much time do we want to spend down here making everything perfect just to leave it to somebody else? Let's enjoy this life because it's a life that God has given us. But let's find that our greatest joy is in serving our God and praising Him. Promises. promises. So many. They break promises. They lie. They deceive. That's the world. Why do we love a world such as that? Why do we want to be a part of such a world as that? We want to be with Jesus. And I think that's the reason he opens the door of the temple, shows us to the ark, says, remember the ark. Remember, it says, of my testaments. Yes, the law is there. I believe without question, something else that is seen as we look in, as John looked in. You know what he saw? I believe he saw the blood of his Savior. And that was the exciting thing, which is included in all the promises. Where did Jesus take his precious blood? He took it to heaven. Why do we have all that on the Day of Atonement? The high priest takes the blood and sprinkles it 7 times upon the mercy seat. Why? It's the blood that saves. We're saved by his precious shed blood. Please, trust in Jesus if you don't know him today. Let's serve him. Let's honor him by testifying of his name. We just read back in Psalms, all the way back in Psalms. We don't have to worry about that enemy. We don't have to worry about it. God's word's true. And he will not lie to us or let us down or deceive us in any way. Stand on Jesus, please. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just thank and praise you. We need to remember, you know, that the scriptures are our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're looking at right here. Those words many of us repeated, we've said those words way before we ever saved. No idea what they meant. And even after being saved, I wonder if we really understand what that means. What that means. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. That happens spiritually with the church. But it's going to happen literally here upon earth. Oh, please, guide and lead us and strengthen us, dear Lord. Bring salvation into the heart of the lost and excite the saved, please. I pray this in Jesus' name.